Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Last week we looked at a lot in chapter 5 and chapter 6. But Brother Melvin, we'll keep you on till God will open the door. If he shut one, he'll probably open another. So.
Let me share this quickly too. I can say a while ago, but I got it out. 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago when he called, I answered the phone, he told me. Linda wasn't there. She was in school. You know, she's teaching out Rockwell Christian. She hasn't got home yet. I went in there and shut the door in the bedroom. And I went in there and I wept for about 30 or 40 minutes begging God for his will. I told him, whatever God's will is what I want. And I've already prayed about it some more. And whatever his will is, he don't make mistakes.
He'll have another door open.
Yeah, he'll take care of it. I do appreciate y'all's prayers.
We'll keep you on, brother, because it'll take something to look.
I appreciate it.
All right. Chapter 5 and chapter 6. Last week we looked at a lot, and I'm not going to go there anymore. But we looked at a lot of scriptures. And the question was, what constitutes a marriage? And I hope you've done some thinking and studying about that. And not a ceremony. I realize it ain't just an old ungodly act that makes a marriage. But we seen what cleave was by looking over at Naomi. Ruth and Naomi, she clave to her, "Your God will be my God. I'll go where you go. I'll do what you do." Now, that's cleaving. And then there was a seal of the marriage. And a man that's joined to a woman is one flesh. And a man who's joined to a harlot is one flesh. That's what the Bible says. That's the dangers of fornication. And so, when you go to looking at ceremonies, then you're not going to go back too far in your history. You're going to see where it was the father's responsibility to keep and protect a virgin and then to present that virgin to a man. And God, Christ is going to present us to the Father, to his virgin bride, right? Cleansed. So, I'm going to go quickly through some more verses in this chapter. But the Bible's very clear about the word fornication. It's very clear. It is reported commonly there is fornication among you, and such fornication it is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. That's a liberal church right there. Very liberal. He said they're to be put out of the local assembly. Is exactly what he said. Now this man repents. In 2 Corinthians you see where he repents. So the judgment of the church ended up being a whole lot better for that man than the judgment of God, didn't it? That's it. And we're going to talk about that some today too, brother. I appreciate that. In verse 2, he said, you're puffed up. Bloated up like a balloon with self-righteousness, self-importance, and all that. That's just big ego trip that they wasn't looking at what's wrong and what's sin in the church. All right, then verse 3, "For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed." That's his own human spirit he's talking about. He's saying, I can be present with you in my spirit. He's saying, I've already done this, now you do it. All right, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. The day of the Lord Jesus he's speaking about there, I think, is the judgment seat of Christ. Not salvation, that he can do something wrong and that's going to keep him saved. But in the day of the Lord Jesus is judgment seat. And that man's going to face that. And then God's going to turn him up. If God turns him over, oh my. All right. In 1 Timothy 1:20, Paul does that to those teaching contrary to the resurrection. He can turn them up. Now, one thing we need to look at here is something we covered three or four weeks back. These apostles had power to turn somebody over to Satan, just not power for the church to vote and just put them out here and then put them out and then Satan would have them. No, they look at Ananias. And you say, well, God did that. But look at what Peter said to Ananias the Sapphira. Look at her, when she come in there. He said, them same feet that carried your husband is going to carry you. There's apostolic powers that they only had. Preachers don't have that today now. It's not there, but it was there then, as clear as day. So there's two ways to look at that. I wouldn't have been, if Apostle Paul turned a man over to Satan, you know what fear put that man right with God? I imagine when they come to him and said, now Apostle Paul, our father in this gospel, has told us to turn you over to Satan. He knew what happened to people in the church that was turned over to Satan. Okay? He repents. And that's over in 2 Corinthians. It talks about it. And then Paul said, when he repented, you love him and you take him back. That's grace. And the church is supposed to show grace too. But the church has to show some judgment. Now, we're going to move quickly into 6 here, but we're going to move on with this. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Matthew 16:11 is false doctrine. Okay? And then here in 1 Corinthians, it's a corrupt life. Then it's used also in Galatians 5:9. Let's turn there just a minute. Read that scripture. We won't chase them all down. But leaven is sin. Let's go start reading in verse 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? See where Satan tries to put that leaven? You think he don't use the Bible? He can put a verse of scripture in the wrong place. And so many churches are doing that. And a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Watch how it blends into the corrupt life. Look at verse 6. Now let's start in verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. There's a new body coming. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh love. Works is leaven. Works in the church is leaven. And brother, it'll leaven the whole lump. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He's talking about corrupt lives, and he's talking about the Word of God and false doctrine. Now, it says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. That's judging yourself, too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if we judge ourselves, we need not be judged. Let a man judge himself. And that goes along with communion. A man is judging himself. And just because he's unworthy, none of us are worthy to take communion. in this body. But in Christ, we're all worthy. You see what he's saying there? We are worthy in Christ, but we're to judge ourselves. And if we judge ourselves, we'll condemn that old man, and we'll put him on the cross at least long enough to take communion, won't we? That rascal will crawl back down there just a little while. But that's what he's doing. We'll talk about that over in chapter 11. But purge out therefore the old leaven. You're to do it with yourself. That's like a two-seated bicycle we talk about, the old man, the new man. You want him to be in the back pedaling, not steering. You don't want him taking you where he wants you to go, but you taking him where he don't want to go. People say, well, if you think I want to go to church every Sunday, the old flesh? No, come on, be honest. A lot of times you get up and say, I'd feel better sitting here, but you make that rascal go and do what you want him to do, not what he wants to do. So we're to purge out, the church is to do it, and the person is to do it. All right? Therefore, let us keep the feast. See what he's talking about? He's going in that feast he's talking about. There's the communion he's going to talk about in chapter 11. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. You don't have that epistle. Paul, I don't know how many letters Paul wrote, but he probably wrote a bunch of them. God chose a canon of scriptures and put them together that he wanted us to have. They're all in here. What he wanted us to have is this is a complete book of what he wanted us to have. But Paul had wrote that, and you won't find it anywhere. But yet, not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. In the church, you can deal with it. But in the world, how can you deal with it? And you got to go to work, right? You got to go to work every day. And sometimes I've been in positions before on jobs that was terrible. And I'm sure you have too. And you must need to go out of the world. Extortioner, X is bring something out. Tort is torture. That's where those words come from. Extortioners. They pull money out of you. You know, a person that says, if you don't tithe, God's going to kill you. God's going to do this. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. You know what he's doing if he's saying that? He's an extortioner. He's extorting something. Bring it out. And most of the time it's for his good, not for God's. God loves a cheerful giver. He wants us all giving. He wants us all doing. But we're not to extort it. And there's different ways of doing that. We're talking about what's usually done in a church here, right? And a lot of insurance salesmen, and pardon me if any of you are insurance salesmen, but a lot of them like to be in the church just where they can extort money. That's an extortioner. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother, you see that? Be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such a one not to eat. For what have I to judge? Them also that are without, do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without, God judgeth. He'll do it in his own time. But the church is supposed to deal with those things that are wrong in the church. I think the church is set up, as Dwayne said a while ago, with constitution and bylaws, and they're set up with a pastor and deacons. And I think normally they're going to be the first ones to deal with this. Right? They should be. And you know what? A lot of times... pastors and deacons deal with things that we never know. And that's the way it ought to be. We don't. If they can deal with it and things taken care of, then they don't need to be blowed out. But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, like I said a while ago, he repented. Now, I want to jump. We covered a lot of chapter 6 last week, but going along with this one, I want us to jump over to we better start here in the front because this needs to be covered. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world, and the world shall be judged by you? Are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Now, Romans chapter 13 goes along with this. A lot of people... don't misunderstand me here, but a lot of churches have tucked things and shoved them under the carpet where a man should have been in jail. Amen. If you got a Sunday school teacher, and I'm going to use Sunday school teachers, not pastors, but it happens. But if you've got a Sunday school teacher molesting children in the church, you got laws against that. And in Romans chapter 13, the law is the law. And we're to honor the law. There's situations running through my mind that I know where churches swept stuff under the carpet. Didn't do any good. The man done it somewhere else. The church should have let the law take care of that. There's been situations where pastors, and I guarantee you in your mind, you're thinking of one right now. I guarantee you. And I used to say before when I was a deacon, when you sweep stuff under the carpet, it just makes a big lump. Sooner or later, you're going to have to deal with it. Now, if you're going to have, if me and a brother here does a land transaction, we can't stay out of the court. You see what I'm saying? But there's things here. Leaven is what? Sin? And that's what leavens the whole lump. That's what your church deals with. You take it. You take a man who's fornicating, the judge don't want to hear that. Does he? Unless his wife, he'll say if your wife wants to live with him, that's her problem. Get out of here. But the church is to deal with things like that. Amen. The guy's looking at me awful funny. You're scaring me. But how are you going to stay out of court? If the law is the law, and we're to obey the law. I'll just put it this way. I told a man one time, a lot of preachers like to get up in the pulpit. I drove 75 or 80 coming up here. You ever heard that? I was running late. What if a state patrolman's sitting there and comes up to him, writes him a ticket? Confession. He just confessed to it. He don't have to see him if he confessed to it and wrote him a ticket. If that state patrolman's doing his job and he heard that that man broke the law, he's supposed to write him a ticket. People don't like to hear that, do they? We shouldn't brag about disobedience. Amen. Disobedience is disobedience. If it's disobedience to the law, it's wrong. God said you'd honor it. Now there's the law and there's the letter of the law. That law is set at 55 mile an hour, I believe it is out through there. Maybe 45. Whatever that sign says, I don't remember. But if I'm doing 58, that law, the heart of that law is not to, you know, it's to, the sign's put there to warn me. Okay? You're breaking the law. Slow down. But if I'm doing it deliberately, I am wrong. Okay? And I'll do something. Well, not know much anymore. I got a ticket hanging on me. You know what they done? They warned me. Ain't God that way? You get another. Otherwise, they're saying, you're going to pay for this. And I have paid for that. Now I'm paying for it in insurance. But I'd rather them judge me than God. Okay. I hope we see that. But you're going to, there's, it don't mean here, dare any of you having a matter against another go to, some people won't go to court, period. But if a man writes a contract and does something and dishonors that contract is, and if it's signed properly, is law, isn't it? The church don't need to be judging situations like that. Because the law has already judged that situation as criminal. Is that true? So, okay. Time's getting away. But you see, I wanted to hit that verse. We need to think about those things. The church is to judge. He just finished talking about leaven. He just talked about putting that guy out of the church. Now he's talking about judging those things. The speed limit out here, whether you're having a contract with, to build a house with a man or whatever you're doing, this he's talking about the church and that sin in that church. It destroys that church, and that leaven will do it. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And you're to purge it out. If it's in your life, you're supposed to judge it. And you're supposed to get it out. And the church is supposed to do the same thing. But you don't... I know our guys do it. I know they do. I know they deal with things. And they do a wonderful job with it. Because we don't hear about it. Amen? So that's... Okay. He'll also go to talking about here, he's talking about suffering something. If a brother does you wrong, he said, is it not better to suffer the wrong? Sometimes you'll have to weigh the situation. If a brother's done me wrong and I can suffer that wrong, I should suffer that wrong. He says, why not let yourself be defrauded? If it's going to hurt the testimony of the church or God, I should let it be defrauded. But there are certain things that's law. And God has already said in Romans chapter 13 that we'd obey that. And that's the sword of the Lord, right? He said, let's just read that. I'll read it quickly because I got some other points I want to hit today. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Church has no right, when a man's broke the law, to cover for that man. Go to Leviticus and see what happens when he covers for a man. It knows the man broke the law. Okay? Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Pretty well states it, doesn't it? Now, verse 11, chapter 6, verse 11. And such were some of you. But you're saved, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All right, verse 9, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Paul's writing to saved people. I'm not looking for an inheritance of the kingdom of God. I am born into it. Is that clear? I'm born into the family of God, but I have an inheritance. There's a millennial inheritance that's coming. And he says, for such were some of you. But now you're washed. You're clean. You're not supposed to be those things. He's going to go right on and say after this, do you take the members of Christ and make the members of a harlot? God forbid. We're not supposed to be living in sin. All right? And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Not water baptism. Amen? People will throw that in there, but we are justified by the Spirit of our God, not water baptism. Okay? Romans chapter 7. I want us to start looking at some scriptures here. We have liberty in the Lord, don't we? Romans chapter 7, verse 4 and 5. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to start looking at some. We have liberty. We have liberty to do things. The Bible, Paul said nothing's unclean of itself. That pot plant growing out there is not an unclean thing. God probably had a use for it and wouldn't have made it. But when a man grinds it and smokes it to get high, it makes a good rope. That's what he said. All right. When man smokes it to get high, see what he's done? Nothing's unclean of itself. Hops growing in the field is not unclean, but when a man brews it and ferments it, no cow could eat it and probably get along with it till we ferment it and make alcohol. But we can't, Romans chapter 7, I'll get verse 4 and 5. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should marry to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Okay, I'm going to read several scriptures here, but I've got some written down here. I'll read these last right here. I'll go through these. Galatians 3. I don't like it for a man to put me under law, but Paul don't either. But he's going to show us some things that are just not expedient. Get these pages turning a bit here. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. All right. Let me read another verse here. I'll stay in this book. There's some more I want to read, but I don't think I'm going to have time. And let's go to 1 Corinthians 8:4. I have liberty. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. I have liberty. But let's look at some other things here. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifices unto idols, and we'll talk about this a little later, but we're talking about liberty today. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. You see that? And a lot of people want to take this liberty that we have and make it an occasion to the flesh. Serious. They say, I'm at liberty. I can do these things. Yes, we have liberty. But we don't have liberty to the occasion to the flesh. Let's go to 8:10. For if any man see thee which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. Paul says we have knowledge. Paul knew that that idol was nothing. It was nothing. He delivered to eat it. But if it's going to hurt his brother, he's not going to eat it. Knowledge is not enough. Most people who have knowledge, if you're trying to win Jude to the Lord, you want to order pork chops, some of the order fish. We have knowledge, but knowledge puffeth up. Right? Another verse. Romans 8:13. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Now, a lot of people want to use this, and I'm going to cover this in the last 5 minutes. A lot of people want to use that to entertain the flesh. They want to say, well, use Romans 14:21, and I'm going to have to cover part of this next week. But let's look at that right now, Romans 14:21. And they'll use this verse. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. They're saying, well, it's all right to drink wine, just long as you're not offending the brother when you do it. If you're with the people who want to do it. We may read these scriptures later on, but Isaiah 5:22. Hosea 4:11, Amos 2:11, Micah 2:11, Proverbs 21, Proverbs 23. Don't make it to an occasion of the flesh, to entertain the flesh. Do you think that God wants you to be hooked up 83%? Now, 83% of fire fatalities is related to alcohol. 68% of drownings is related to alcohol. 80% of suicides is related to alcohol. 40% of industrial accidents related to alcohol. 86% of murders is related to alcohol. 65% of child abuse You think God's in that? People will they'll use the scripture. Yes. Ain't nothing wrong with grape juice. Nothing's unclean of itself. But when you turn it into something where you can sin, where you can do wrong, it's wrong. Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. Whosoever deceives there is not wise. He's a fool. Ain't but one other thing to look at it. And people want to patronize these things. They'll use verses like that. Like I just read. That if it offends my brother to drink wine, then I'm not going to drink wine. But it's okay to do it just like it's okay to eat meat. Well, look at these statistics. Look at the things that happen. Look at the priesthood. I don't have time to go through this. Numbers and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 32, I think, is what they didn't drink. Wine or strong drink. And then a couple chapters down, it's what they did drink, the fruit of the vine. Not wine. People will use the Bible to justify their flesh. You can't partake of the devil's table and the Lord's table. So when I read these statistics to you, whose table is that on? There's certain things you can look at and say, I hate to get into items and choking like that, but when the Bible's there, we got to be there. You say, well, what's wrong with tobacco? If I smoke a cigarette, if it don't offend my brother, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And to defile the temple? As Oliver B. Green once said, an old guy told him, said, well, you can go to heaven chewing tobacco. Oliver said, well, you'll have to go to hell to spit. That's a little foolish, but still, yeah, it makes a lot of sense, don't it? So what we're getting at here, and we'll cover it next week because I'm hitting just the tops of this. I'm taking the whipped cream off of it. It's not expedient. Expedient, advantageous. There's no advantage to it at all as far as God's concerned. And he said that let all things be done decently and in order, and whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And you can't take and drink wine that's fermented and it's wrong and bring glory to God when you got statistics just like I read to you. It's partaking of the devil's table and the Lord's table. Folks, that's true, and I know. I wouldn't doubt there's not people sitting right under my voice now that take these scriptures and think it's okay. There's too much in the Bible. I challenge you to go get James Knox's book out of the library. You can sit down there at that little table and sit down and read it and look at those scriptures that he gives you on sociable drinking, with sociable people who you're not offending. And they even want to put it in the communion. A lot of pastors want to support they want to build a foundation under what they already believe or support their lifestyle. By using the Bible scriptures to do it. You're not going to do that. Romans 8:31. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 8:31. I got just a few minutes. No, I'm wrong here. I wrote something down wrong. 8:13. Did I read that? Wherefore, if me to make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. He's talking about meat they're offered to idols and offending a weaker brother whose conscience condemns him when he does it. All right. Another one. 10:23 and 10:29. All things are lawful for me. Do you see that? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another man's wealth. If the Bible didn't have any other verse in it, which it has plenty on wine, if the Bible didn't have any other verse in it, that would be enough. Look at 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. A man has got to know when he brings something into his body that puts his body in another realm and takes control of his spirit, then it's wrong. If it don't edify God, and Paul said, I will not be brought under the power of any. A man that smokes and uses tobacco is brought under the power of it. What does that mean? It means this. A man that's under the power of alcohol drinks when the bottle tells him to drink. Drinks when the spirit is overwhelmed by alcoholism. A man that smokes, I smoked for years. I wasn't totally on cigarettes as much as cigars, but I desired them. And I've walked a long ways before to try to find some. Why? I was under control of it. It had control of me. And Paul said, I will not be brought under the power of any. Right? We're supposed to be under the power of the Holy Spirit of God and letting the Holy Spirit run and lead our lives. And something that does not edify or bring glory to God, we're to judge ourselves. He said, if we judge ourselves, we need not be judged. Amen. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. And God, thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Sir?
Fishing again?
No, I'm going to get to go a little bit in the May, then I got to head out to Amy's.
Uh-oh.
My little grandbaby's
being.
Huh?
Up there again?
Yeah. She called me. I didn't tell you that, I guess, but she called me. Her mama told her.
Yeah. Hey, bro, Joe.
How you doing, Joe?